as we continue on this morning, we're going to do something that we did not get a chance to do last week, last Friday. We do it each and every Friday here on the station, 9:15 until 10 a.m. We go over the back fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Last week, there was just a previous engagement. We were not able to get together and do that, so we wanted to make it up here on this Tuesday morning before we go into this Friday's episode. So it's a pleasure to welcome to the microphones, as it always is, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing great, and how are you, Todd?
Doing good on this Tuesday.
I'll tell you, it has been a whirlwind. So much more. The life things change, and kinds of things happen. Not necessarily bad, but a lot of things tend to. But I apologize for missing everyone and needing to take. But it's great to be here this morning with you on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. It looks like the rain may be out of here for a while, which is a great thing for farmers to get back to the crop.
You know, I was reading a story about that this morning, that the farmers are getting out there in the crops while the weather holds up.
Yes, you know, it's really been very good for them this year, for the most part. They've had a pretty good year, at least this harvest season, and a lot of dry weather to get them in. Quite nice. You know, one thing I always put on their mind is pray for these guys during this time, because when they have to go, they got to go. And what I mean is, when they have to get on it, it's time to get on it. And sometimes that involves 24, 48 hours with very little, if any, sleep. And when you're working around heavy equipment and machinery and wet, things sometimes wet, depths when you're climbing on things and whatnot, a lot of accidents do happen.
You know, absolutely. The slightest misstep can really cause an injury that would be lagging.
You know, a lot of the injury today has really had more safety features. I remember as a kid and a young man that so many farmers were missing a hand, missing fingers. I mean, do you remember that? Seeing old farmers that had been maimed in some way by their equipment, getting their hands or something in a PTO shaft. It's really rough work, and I think that, you know, we need to stop sometimes and think about what goes into what we consume every day.
Oh, absolutely, and we have to thank these people for doing what they're doing, because it supplies so much of our food.
It really does. You know, even in the livestock industry, I every now and then they'll talk about animals that aren't right. You know, the truth is that have something in them, whatever it is, don't take care of it. In other words, if you're successful, no matter what the business is, you always take care of. Take care of what you have. Same with our personal lives. But, you know, with farmers, every now and then you'll get a bad one, and they don't usually stay in business very long. But those seem to be the ones that, you know, they make the news. We've talked about that before, how negative things make the news. But most, we call it in the livestock business, animal husbandry. And what that is how you take care of your animals. And so many farmers, including my own family, I see the care that goes into their animals when they're sick or they don't feel well, or making sure their rations are right. You know, it's kind of funny, Scott. I get a kick out of this. When we feed livestock, we always make sure we give them the best ration we can and a consistent ration, because we know that's what keeps them healthy. And when you change rations on an animal or food types on an animal, they'll usually drop off maybe in their weight gain, or it takes them some time to readjust. And I think that as people, we could take a lesson from that, because we constantly change up what goes in our mouth, and our system has to adjust for it. And we've learned that in other mammals, that a consistent, steady diet, your body adjusts to perfectly, and that's what it wants. And it sounds like boring eating to me, but you know what? I think it'd be better for us.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. You know, it's very interesting, though, that when people go into the grocery store or they go to these markets on the side of the road sometimes, the food there is so much more expensive than the cupcakes or the sugary drinks. It's been a problem for a long time.
It really has. It's very tempting. I know. I've had to watch myself, and mainly, let the bolt break. I bought this thing like, but you know, I found, and I'm guilty of this recently, if I have it available in front of me, I'm going to consume it. And, you know, it's better off just to not even have it available to eat. But you ever notice when you walk into, when I walk into Kroger on Barks Road, and I'm not picking on Kroger, it's all stores. Well, you walk in, and the first thing that hits you, typically, right in front of you is that deli. And then right, they've got all the cakes and donuts, pies sitting out, and then off to the side of that, there's the produce. Well, which decision do you make when you walk in that door? Are we going to go left or are we going to go right?
Well, that's right, and it's you know, I think all stores have product placement, and I think the whole idea is we got to catch your eye when you're coming in the door.
Yeah, and that stuff looks good. You know, it typically does, but you know, it's but farmers work so hard, really. When we get a blizzard or sub-zero or heat index goes up over 100, you know, we're either in bundled up inside or we're in air conditioning, and farmers are out there trying to keep their animals alive and comfortable, and they do that every day, and I really respect them greatly for what they do. My family is involved in dairy cattle, beef cattle, and swine. So they're pretty busy. And that's quite a variety of different things to take care of. But they do, and they do a remarkable job at it.
Well, you know, the farmers that have done this work for years and years and years, and the new ones that have come in the last few years, I mean, we really have to take our hat off to them. It's just such arduous work, I think.
It really is. Really, you've always got someone. It's really funny. This is one thing people don't. Dairy cattle, good dairy cattle, will show a lot of what we call spring of rib. And what that means is she has a very wide rib cage, and you can see her ribs. It's just her natural build and design. It means that she has a lot of capacity to eat a lot of hay, which will produce a lot of milk. Well, I've had people at the county fairs, you know, they'll be showing cows. People come down the aisle and say, oh, look at those poor cows. You can see their ribs. And thinking they're not being fed well, when that's actually something that is part of their body design that makes them healthy and look good. There's a difference between skinny and no and ribby, and you see what I mean? And people don't understand how things are supposed to look, which on the flip side of that would be a beef cow, which is you don't see so much of that. You're going to see more fat layering on them. But it's just funny how people think and operate. But anyway, it's a good time, I think, to respect dairy farmers and beef for all of them. But anyway, one of the things I want to talk about today that we have been on the subject a little bit, but I wanted to share some good news, but it's kind of tragic in a way. The good news is that 8 Days of Hope, I don't know if you're aware of the organization. It's a faith-based organization that goes in and builds housing and staffs it for people that are in all kinds of danger, in trouble, in disasters. And anyway, to make a long story short, and right now in Millersburg, Ohio, which everybody knows is over by Amish country, in Millersburg, Ohio, they're building a $6.5 million facility for victims of sex trafficking between the ages of 14 and 18. And they are ones that have been, kids that have been rescued, young women, young men that have been rescued, and they will be, they'll have counselors on hand. They live there. People that help counsel them through where they've been, show them they care about them, clothe them, feed them. They take them to church. Like I said, it's faith-based. They have church, but they're trying. Some of these young people have never known love in their life, and they're finally going to see it for the first time right here in good old Ohio.
That's very positive. You know, when with things like that going on in the world, it is so nice that things can be done to show people that there is a better life. And if it happens here in Ohio, even better.
Absolutely. And I think the 13th of these for this, and that's tragic. We even need it, right? But the fact is, there is hope. Help's on the way. So many organizations doing so much. We had a lady here. You guys know that. You know, that 2 weeks ago, I was at a very tragic funeral up in Michigan of a niece or something that happened. But anyway, there was a lady that came in and spoke on Sunday morning, prior to the service, from Samaritan's Purse. And I don't know. I'm sure you're probably familiar with that. It's a shoebox ministry, and you people in the church take. We usually do about 50 shoeboxes here or more. And some churches do much, much more than that. But the shoeboxes are full of things that kids and young people would normally never get. Hygiene items, maybe some recreation type stuff, some things that would really be nice for them. And the shoeboxes are packed, and they are sent all over the world to distressed kids in distressed areas, and literally they go out by the millions at Christmas time. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing to get involved in. And just those kind of things, you know, we talk about a lot of negatives because they're out there. And matter of fact, on the positive side, I know that Craig Heilman's going to be starting a new show, and that's going to be about things in the world that are getting the church in the world, how do I put this, some of the positive things out there that are going on that they do on a regular basis and in different, I think some of their, some of his first guests will be people that are involved in some of these type ministries. And you're aware of that, right, Scott?
Yes, absolutely. Starting this coming Friday at 1:15 p.m.
Yeah, what did you call it? I forget.
A Study His Word.
Right, it's going to be on his Study His Word show, right?
Right.
Okay. But anyway, there's so much going on. It's so good. There's so much out there. You know, in Scripture, we talk about, you know, your faith has to be shown. And there's another verse, you know, being a sounding, if you don't act on what you do, you're like a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You make a noise that everyone hears and it just fades away quickly. But you know, we want to see people that have a love for God and have boots on the ground. And what I mean by that is get out there and do it. I know there's a lot of faith-based recovery programs for drugs, alcohol, gambling. People that are just constant, you know, food pantries. We have them. We have a huge one right here in Prospect, right across the street from us, that literally gives hundreds of meals out every week. Our own program here that's just kicking off this week, by the way, it starts every year at this time. We'll be taking in, I don't know how many she has right now, probably 120, now more than that, 150 weekend meals for kids at school that go home on the bus with them in a sack, 2-day lunch. And, you know, all those things are things that people do. They're not, you know, they're not paid for. That's why we call it a nonprofit. You know, some of the employees in these businesses are paid in larger ones. But in like here in our local churches that do all this stuff, no one's paid for this stuff. It's all volunteer. So there's good people out there doing good things. And we need to recognize that and take courage, take heart that it is going on.
Well, absolutely. And I think the more people that get involved in these programs, because they are nonprofit, the easier it is on everybody else. But the fact that they operate now is a terrific thing.
Well, and, you know, there's several places that, you know, locally that help us keep going. You know, when we're put together a lunch for a child from Copeland. The whole point is visit at home on Friday so that we don't know what's going on at home on the weekend, whether they have food or don't food, whether the food budget is tight at home. you know, a lot of kids don't see mom and dad on the weekend. Mom and dad disappear and are gone all weekend and just leave them home. I mean, it happens. But it's a volunteer thing. You know, the parents, we send forms home. The parents then say whether they want their kids to be involved in this or not. And then we bring everything in on a Friday, and the kids take it home. And we do this separately from the school, so we keep that separation point. The school doesn't organize it. They don't fund it. They don't do anything with it. But they do allow us to make that transfer. But anyway, what I was getting at, you know, in these lunches, we have to, my wife coordinates it here at the church. She has for many years, and it's kind of her little thing. My wife is a behind-the-scenes pastor's wife. What I mean by that, there's no real definition of a pastor's wife as far as what they should be involved in and not involved in. But many people think the pastor's wife's teaching Sunday school and singing and doing all. That's not my wife. My wife is a good old farm girl that give her a job and she'll do it. But other than that, you'll never see her. But anyway, she has to make sure of all the kids. She has to know all their allergies, what they can and can't have. Has to make sure that it's somewhat balanced. You know, sometimes the best we can do is breakfast bars. But you know what? Breakfast bars are good. And, you know, little peanut butter packets, well, you know, the little tubs of peanut butter and things to go with that and fruit and those kind of things, a drink, just those kind of things to get them by. But we rely a lot of times on some of the local companies and to supply us this stuff when they have, you know, they'll produce too much or whatever the case may be, then they'll contact us and say, I just got a call yesterday, matter of fact, from a local manufacturer or food manufacturer, I guess that's the wrong word. Anyway, that had a large amount of stuff, but unfortunately it was something we couldn't use. But I'm sure there is someone that can always use that. But without those companies stepping in and corporate donations and things like that, you know, we'd be in trouble. And I think that people need to realize those people, those companies, those managers, they're out there, and they truly do care.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of things go on behind the scenes that we're never aware of, that I wish people were aware of in some way. Just the fact of what you just said, that people do call up and do make offers and do try to help, because they don't want that stuff to go to waste. They do want it to go to people who might need it. And it goes on quite a bit. I think a lot more than people would think.
Yeah, and you know, one thing nice about what we do here, I know them. They're mom. Young lady here, of course. Because I'm not so young anymore. But anyway, they're moms, and they're at a time where things are struggling a little bit. And they said, you know, maybe I could use a little bit of help, or is anyone going to be in the church? Well, the whole thing is, yeah, absolutely, but they know me and they know the church well enough that it's not just going to be a physical handout of whatever they need. It's not just going to be material need being met. We're going to talk about where they're at, you know, what can we do to help you get on your feet? Well, how's your life going? What those kind of things, you know? You can't put a Band-Aid on a problem. Sometimes you have to get to root. Why do they need the Band-Aid? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of times, that's unfortunately what happens, because there are so many people who need help that each person is not examined. Every person is not taken aside and say, you know, what caused this? Why is this a problem? And then try to work on the problem instead of just the solution. So it definitely happens.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times something just simple that they can tweak earlier, you know, that has possibly come out. One thing usually really hard on family. I hear the check cashing places. If they can get out of that cycle, it will free up a lot of money for them. But because those places are designed to make a lot of money off a little off a lot of nothing. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Those and I think they've outlawed those places where you used to be able to mortgage your car. I mean, that was awful.
Well, no, you can still do that.
Well, you can still do that. Oh, that's a nightmare for people.
I know a guy that had three vehicles tied up in three. Yeah. And another one that they have. But, you know, the thing is, we could just discipline ourselves to put, just try, I know it's so hard, to put something back. You know, one thing that, and I know that it's hard when you are, when you got the stresses of life and it's something you've always done, but when I look at the cost of cigarettes, and cigarettes are, I imagine the average cigarettes are about $8 a pack, right? And if you're smoking 2 packs a day, that's $16. You realize that? And if you're in every 10 days, that's $160. Is my math right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So 3 times 16 is what?
What do you get? 18.
42.
Yeah.
$420 a month. For cigarette for one person. What if you have 2 people in the house smoking back today? That's $840 a month. That's mind-boggling.
That is one habit I never had, but when I see people buy them, I cannot imagine how in the world people would afford that. It's unbelievable.
Well, let's go ahead and add a 6-pack of beer to that a day, whatever. And you know, maybe they can't quit. We struggle with that. Maybe what the answer is to get on a program and start cutting way back. It's really funny. We had a lady in the church one time. We had a thing here in Prospect where the ministerial association would help people with an electric bill or something like that. But if we helped them with the electric bill, they had to agree to something to sit down with a lady that we had in the church that was a bookkeeper. And she was going to sit down and do a budget with them. I think that's a fair trade. You know, a half-hour meeting for a budget for maybe $200 electric bill. You know, I'd sit down for a half hour for $200, right?
Yeah.
And she the whole purpose wasn't to expose them or to scold people for what they do or don't do, but to try to help them. And she came up with this program with cigarettes that kind of I thought was kind of neat. Every week, and I know this is a long extended thing, but for a week at a time, you would take one cigarette out of your pack and put it to the side. And so that of whatever you're smoking that day, you take a cigarette out, put it. Don't buy any extra that you normally would, but just take one out. The next week, you take 2 outs. The next week, you take 3 out. And you put them aside. And, of course, what that ended up doing was extending the amount that they had and lessen the amount they were smoking. And as they continued down this path, it would bring them all the way down to a point where they could either manage it or quit. And I thought it was a neat thing, and some people tried it. It worked great. But just things like that that you can help people with, and some alternative ways of doing things. Fast food today, I don't know about you, Scott, but I can't afford to go through a fast food place and buy a meal. I might go through and get a pop or get a coffee or maybe something off the dollar menu, but you go through and buy a meal. If a mom and 4 kids go through and buy their dinner, we're talking about $50.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting because they're all still very busy.
Yeah. And it just shows you that people aren't thinking budget at all, and they need to be. But just like that, like last night we were working here at the church. We're having carpet put in today, and we had a bunch of prep to get ready for that. And, you know, Frank Robinson.
Yep.
And Frank was here, and Frank was getting hungry, and he said, "Hey," he goes, "I'm going to run down to the store, grab a loaf of bread and a pack of lunch meat. Anybody hungry?" Now think about that. He probably spent less than $10, and could feed everybody there. And how hard is that to do at home? It may not be as good as the McDonald's. Well, I think it's probably. I think it is. But anyway, we got to start thinking more along those lines. And really encourage, you know, there's so many good moral lessons that young people learn at a very young age when they come to church, when they come to our team kid, a matter of fact, is tonight. It's from 6:30 to 8. Team Kids for Christ. We do it at the KP Hall here in Prospect. These kids get wonderful lessons. They have snack time and they have recreation and just a real, really, really good time. They're having a little harvest celebration tonight. It'll be fun. So I encourage people to bring their kids. But those kind of things that build character. I've watched some of our football coaches. Of course, you know that I'm try to be as involved as I can with what goes on at Elgin. It's in our district. But some of our coaches, they're life coaches, man. I mean, they may be ball coaches, but they're life coaches. And regardless of how our season ends up, we've lost two games. One just by a couple points that we should have won. But regardless of the win-loss column, man, you're talking about a team of a bunch of winners. These boys out there are unbelievable character. We have a great group of boys right now, and I attribute a lot of that not just to their parents caring, but to teachers, to coaches, and how the coaches are there for them and try to help build that character. I had T-shirts made for all the coaches that said had the school name on the front, and on the back it said "Building Winners for Today, Tomorrow, and for Life," and that's what it's about. That's why we do Sunday school. That's why we do church. That's why we do all these things. It's getting that core right. When the core's right, everything operates better on top.
Well, you know, I think everything in life like that is constantly on the long term. I don't think anything is done in the short term.
Good point. Yeah. If you're looking for instant gratification all the time, you'll never have it. You have to build something. You look at, you know, anything that's worthwhile, it has taken time. You know, it's not just, if you're always looking for instant gratification, you don't build anything under you. You know, it's funny that my parents used to sing this little jingle type song to us when we were kids, and it was "The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. When the rain comes up and the flood." When the rains come down, the floods come up. When the rain come down and the floods come up, the house on the sand goes splat. Mm-hmm. And this is the wise man builds his house upon the rock. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. When the rains come down, the floods come up. When the rains come down, the floods come up. The house on the rock stands firm. And that's that firm foundation. That's that solid rock that you build on. And when the hard times come, you have something solid to stand on. But if you're just always flying by the seat of your pants, going from paycheck to paycheck, you know, remember the old song, I don't remember who did it, "Everybody's Working for the Weekend"?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, in so many cases, they're working for the weekend. You know, we can't wait to go out this weekend. They hit the different bars and places and just have blast with their friends, and they wake up on Saturday morning and go, "Oh, man, I don't believe I spent that much." And then they go out Saturday and do it again. And by Monday, they're depressed. You know, when I was in the construction work, there were many weeks that went by that I didn't have, I couldn't pay myself. I had to pay the guys, and I couldn't pay myself. But they would still come in to me on Monday and say, "Hey, man," he goes, "you got any money for lunch?" Because they just shot it all weekend. And it's just, you know, it's a matter of growth. It really is, Scott.
Well, it is, and I think it all comes down to perspective about what is important to you. And a lot of times, it really, you know, is it about having that great weekend where you have an unbelievable time and you spend an unbelievable amount of money, or is it just about living life and having a good time and making sure that you are financially stable now and in the future? A lot of people say, "Well, I got the money now. I can do it. There's not going to be a problem." And then down the road, it's gone.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's all just kind of cut. We talk so much about the positive. And it all comes back to the thing about what you're think about others, but always put others before yourself. You know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And what a positive thing. Scott, I think we're at the 9 o'clock hour.
We are. We hit the, but you'll be back on Friday, and we'll have a great continuation of the conversation we had today.
Yeah, I'd love to see you guys in church. God loves you. You know I always do. And Scott, we thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Pastor Whitaker. Bye-bye.